Lord, we desire to, in this particular class, to understand meeting with you, to understand your desire for us to come to you, to meet with you. And I pray that you would just cause us to be able to focus, to concentrate, and Lord, cause our hearts to understand. We give you this class to do as you desire, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask you to really think with me in this class. I'm going to present some things to you that, as I'm presenting them, you may get challenged in the process until we come maybe to the end of that particular aspect of what I'm talking about. And you're going to have to really track with me. I really want this understanding to go deep into you. It's in many ways revolutionizing. Some of you may be even participating with this idea that I'm going to be sharing. It may be happening in your life in certain ways and different aspects. And I want to bring it to a place, to a level where you can identify, because if you don't exactly know how it's coming about and happening, that is meeting with God in an up-close personal way, then you'll hit and miss on it. And there'll be sometimes you go, wow, man, I was really close to the Lord. I really sensed His presence. And then there'll be other times just kind of go, what's up? I feel it distant. I feel far. And oftentimes we just don't have that standard of understanding. And we're going to try to lay that out to some extent today. So with your notes, we're going to be looking at introduction at this point in time before we get into the learning levels, the levels of understanding. By way of introduction, I find myself in a place that's very concerned over what's happening in our society, what's happening with kids and youth. The Bible College as a whole is a little different in these statistics than what's going on all over. There's a mass exiting taking place today with those that were raised in homes that love the Lord. Parents love the Lord. One of them loved the Lord. And they're taking off and going in different directions. And the statistics are crazy. We're being told that 85% of the youths that were raised in the Christian home that attended public education do not embrace those views anymore. That's 85%. I just heard a statistic last week. 90% of the body of Christ sends their kids to public ed. Of that 90%, 89% have been surveyed to state that in their middle school years and in their high school years, the seeds of doubt were planted that caused them to walk away. Walk away from the living God. Walk away from Him who gives access to eternal life. Walk away from the greatest individual that ever walked on the earth. And I go, what's up with that? How can that be? There's something wrong, especially when you start seeing where they walk to. It's not what people think, that they went way crazy rebellious. They walk to another religion. They walk to another way of life. And there is no other way of life. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He did die for our sins. And yet there's something better out there that they've walked to. See, I don't believe that those that walked don't want to know God. They want to know God. There's probably never been a greater time in history than your age. And the kids that are growing up right now, they want to know who God is. They're very spiritually minded. And yet they walked away. it's quite interesting to me. And we're going to look at what I believe to be one of the main reasons for that taking place. There are different reasons for sure that people will walk away from their faith. I mean, there's all kinds of reasons. But I'm talking about across the board. I'm talking about a mass exiting. Statistics tell us that 63% of those who claim to be Christians don't believe Jesus is the Son of the one true God. Now, these are surveys taken among kids that take the name of Christ and say, this is what I believe in. 63% don't believe that. 58% believe all faiths teach equally valid truths. 58%. 51% believe that Jesus did not rise from the dead. These are people you walk up to on the street that could have a name tag Christian. 65% don't believe Satan's real. 68% don't believe the Holy Spirit is real. And they still claim, and you couldn't convince them otherwise, that they aren't Christians. They really believe they still are. They just don't believe that. And other things. The list goes on and on and on. So something's going on that's really wrong. But in recent years, trainings and conferences and curriculums and all this stuff has been flooding into the church. Good stuff. Things that really will teach you what Christianity is about. It's more than ever. And yet we're still seeing this problem. One of the problems that we have is that our society worships knowledge. You know, it's a little God. Education. What kind of degree do you have? It's a little God. You get your places. You put out your little statue of education to somebody. And go, oh, you know, got those little idols out there. And we've got to be careful with that. Oftentimes, knowledge is the end goal of all teaching that takes place. The religion of Christianity is being delivered. But I personally believe that how to have an up-close personal relationship with Jesus Christ is not. Do we really have a personal up-close relationship with Jesus Christ, or are we involved with religion? The religion of Christianity. So often we don't realize that what we're teaching is religion, not relationship. And we go around, we hear them say, oh yeah, the difference between Christianity and the other world religion is relationship, but we don't go there so often. We hang out with religion. Religion doesn't save. Matter of fact, Christianity is Jesus Christ Himself. That's Christianity. It is an up-close personal contact with a living God. It's not study of the Word, although that's a part of it. But if we make it out just to be study of the Word, then what happens is we are teaching religion. Form. This is how we're supposed to be. This is the way we're supposed to be. And yet, that's not Christianity. Christianity is Jesus Christ Himself. And we substitute this knowledge aspect of things for it. We teach about Christianity. We teach about the Bible. But we never bring, we'll say, because this is a children's ministry class, we never teach the kids how to come close to Him through His Word. We teach them all about His Word. But you can know all about a person and know nothing of them personally. You know, there may be figures out there that we think we know. The president. We think we know the president. No, at best, whatever president we have, we know about him. But we don't know him personally. That's where I believe we've got a problem, a big problem on our hand, because we're always talking about Christianity. We're always informing, you know, what to believe. This is how you're to do it. But somehow, some way, the kids walk away and they don't know how to meet with God in a personal way. I would venture to say there's a number of you that maybe aren't sure about this thing. Some people tell you, and they're very strong at their opinion, you can't really know God. You can read about God. But you're telling me up close personally that you can sense His presence, that you can sense Him talking to you? I don't think so. I don't think so. So what we're going to do to start dealing with that issue is we're going to look at learning levels. And the reason we're going to look at learning levels is because anyone that's teaching the Bible needs to understand the five basic levels that are going on when you're teaching, when you're listening, or when you're acting upon that information. And it holds a great understanding for what's going on in our culture, what's going on in our society. It will answer some of the questions, why in America? And it's not just America. There's other places that they're dealing with the same thing. So what I want you to do is to turn, if you haven't already, to the learning levels. And we're going to go through those five levels of learning. This is where you're going to have to really track with me. Because by the time we're done, hopefully you will see how you've been trained to learn and how you respond. We never talk about how we were trained to think. We only talk about how we think, what we think. But the aspect of thinking doesn't get brought up. And so as we look at these five levels, hopefully you'll start understanding a little bit more when you say something, what category of level of learning you're actually saying that from. When you live something out, whether you are or not living something out that you thought you were living out, that you may not be living out, because James tells us that if you are only a hearer of the word, you will become deceived. He goes on to say that you have to be a doer of the word. What does it mean to be deceived? Anybody? If you're trying to tell a kid what it means to be deceived, what are you going to say to him? Blinded would be one. Led astray. Believe a lie, but you wouldn't know that you were believing the lie. Deceived means to be tricked. You're tricked. And when you're tricked, you don't know it. You're being deceived. A lot of things that were being said is what's taking place. And so, in light of what James says, it's really important for us to understand. We think we have an option to do the word or not. We think we have an option just to hear the word and then go away. But if you hear the word and you go away and you don't become a doer of the word, you are now deceived. It's a promise. It's a guarantee. If you're just a hearer of the word, you are deceived. The weird thing is, you don't know it. You don't know it. People around you know it, but you don't know it because you're the one deceived. It's pretty crazy. And it's tough when you don't know something that you're deceived by. How do you change? That's why there isn't this option of, oh, I'll just listen to the word. I'm going to go to Bible college. I'm just going to listen and I'll pass the... You know what? The more you hear that you don't do, the more deceived you will be. And you wonder why some of these guys with big names, pastoring big churches, fall. They're proclaiming the word of God daily. But they aren't doing it and they're deceived and they don't think anybody else knows it. And then all of a sudden they fall flat on their face, and everybody's like, wow, what happened? What a man of God. Totally deceived out. Because they only spoke and didn't do. So the first level of learning that I want to bring your attention to is the rote level of learning. Rote level of learning. Everybody there? Okay. The rote level of learning is the ability to repeat something without thought of meaning. One of the areas that you would find rote level learning often, most of the time, is memory verses. Now, I'm not going to say that it's bad to memorize Scripture, because it's not. But one of the things you will say, if I would say yeah, it's bad to memorize Scripture, the first Scripture that would come to your mind is that about hiding God's Word in your heart. All right? Well, when you memorize a Scripture, where are you hiding the Scripture? Where? In your brain. Not in your heart. Not necessarily. And that scripture doesn't say hiding God's word in my brain. It says in my heart that I may not sin against thee. So the first level of this learning process is the memorization of facts that you can repeat without thought of meaning. It's the rote level of learning. Now I'm going to teach you on this level of learning how to say something that's pretty cool, that after you're done in class, you go to dinner and you can talk to somebody that's not in this class and start sharing with them what you learned in here. You got to understand, this is only on the rote level of learning. You're only going to be able to repeat this, and there will be no understanding of it. All right? Unless any of you can repeat that on the bottom of your page already, can anybody share that? Because that's what we're going to learn to say on the bottom, where you've got the staircase and stuff right there down on the bottom. I've got it written out for you if you want to say it now. All right, well, let's go ahead and say it. I'll say it a couple times, and then you can repeat after me. Hananim and Saron imnida. Okay? It's simple. Y'all can do it. It just takes a little bit of, you know. I'm going to teach you how to memorize something. And it's a way I can show you what I'm talking about, that the rote level is repeating something without thought of meaning. Hananim and Saron imnida. All right? I'm just going to keep repeating a little time, and then we're going to do it together in unison. And if I see those that don't want to attempt to do this, then I'm going to pick them out and have them do it solo-ly. Hananiman. Sarang. Imnida. On three. One, two, three. Hananiman. Sarang. Imnida. All right, that's really bad. All right. I've had classes of 15 doing a whole lot better. Let's do it again on three. One, two, three. Haraniman. Sarum. Imnida. All right. Now I could spend the next 20 minutes trying to get you to memorize that, which I'm not going to. But what I want you to understand is if you could go out of this room and say that to someone, Haraniman. Sarum. Imnida. You would have said something that's very cool. You would have said something, though, that was without thought of meaning because you don't know what it means. So that's the rote level of learning. Hopefully you understand that. So we're just going to go on to the recognition level, just playing out that you guys memorize that and you know that. All right? Now, this is the ability to recognize a biblical concept. The recognition level is a little bit farther in advancement of the learning process. Oh, and I do need to say this. It's not like we're going to go through these levels of learning and one is better than the other. What I'm trying to tell you is they're all a part of what happens. It's going to happen somewhere in the learning process. So just because you're only repeating something without thought of meaning doesn't mean that that's necessarily bad. But you need to know that's what's going on so that you can advance in the learning process. There is a place for the rote level of learning. But there's more than that. So, looking back at Hananim and Sarang Imnida, we're going to take and move you to the ability to recognize a biblical truth that by the first level, the rote level, you did not understand what that is. And it is Korean. Hananiman, Sarum, Imnida is Korean. God is love. So now you're at the second level of learning, the recognition level. So you walk up to Chris and say, Hananiman. He might look at you weird, but nonetheless, he would recognize that you're saying God is love. That's the second level, the level of recognition. Now, here's another way that may cause you to understand a little bit better. Somebody may come up to your door on Saturday morning. There may be two guys in white shirts with ties. Their bikes are out on the sidewalk. And they come up, And they start talking about a religion. Now, you may not know about the white-shirted bicycle-riding religion. So you're listening to what they've got to say, and you kind of go, well, that kind of sounds good. Kind of sounds a little bit like what I believe, but kind of not. And you start going, wow, you know, we're getting deeper into this, you know. And who's that you're talking about, that angel? And so all of a sudden, you go, no, I'm out of here. You close the door on them and say bye. You recognize it's not something you want involvement with. That's the recognition level. Now, on this level, you're still only a hearer. The rote level, you're only a hearer. You're not a doer. We're trying to get ourselves to that doer level. So with the recognition, you may be talking in a class about what it means to be saved, the gospel, what's involved with that. And you may have shared fully to the class what the gospel message was. And then you will give them three options to see whether they understand, even at the recognition level, if they've got a little bit of what you were trying to say to them. And I've got this written down here, these three options. After sharing the gospel message, you may ask the students, can a person get to heaven by always obeying his parents and being kind to his friends? Now, again, this is right after we talked about what the gospel message is, coming to Jesus Christ. And most likely they would recognize the reality. No, that's not it. Can a person get to heaven by going to church and reading their Bible and praying every day? Again, those are good things, but no, that won't happen. Can a person get to heaven by putting their trust and faith in Jesus Christ, who saved them from the penalty of their sins by his death and resurrection? At that point, they should be able to recognize, if they heard it correctly, and go, that's it. That's what the second level of learning is about, recognition. The ability to recognize a biblical truth. So we've got those first two levels down. We're going to go to the next level, and that is the restatement level, which is the ability to express or relate concepts of biblical system of thoughts. In other words, put it into your own words. You, at this third level, have the ability to put it into your own words. So the gospel message is understood fully enough to be able to share it with someone else. This is the restatement level. Now, in order to find out whether or not the student has gone beyond the recognition level to the restatement level, the teacher of the class may say something like this. I was talking with a boy this week who lives by me, and he told me that day that he was being confirmed in his church. He said that the bishop was going to anoint him with the Holy Spirit, and that with the Holy Spirit to help him, he was sure he could be good enough to get to heaven. So now the teacher's laying this out to a class that's just heard the gospel. There's no true or false. There's no recognition of three different ideas. This is just a fact that comes out from the teacher. And the teacher says, is that so? And what the teacher's looking for at that point is the ability of the students to be able to restate the truth, because that wasn't the truth. So at this level, you learn how to communicate the truth. You restate the truth. But this level still keeps us at just a hearer-only level. Now here's the problem. I want you to track with this. This is the problem. These first three levels is basically how we live. It's for sure how we are taught in school. To restate, to memorize something, to be able to recognize it for a test, and then to be able to restate it as an essay. And that's how we live. And yet, all three levels are hearer-only levels, but we think we've got it. We think we understand it. And yet, all we are doing, at the best, is restating it. When I share this with parents, families, it's amazing afterwards how many parents come up to me and say, man, you just nailed it. I now understand what's gone on in my family with my kids. You nailed it. because my children are able to restate all kinds of stuff. And I've always thought they've got it in their heart. And yet it's just in their head. The majority of the body of Christ today, and this is a radical statement, but I believe it's so, and I will put it into the United States of America, are living out their Christianity in their head. They're living it out in their head. Because this is how we've been trained to think, and we think as long as I have the agreement in my brain that it's the same as doing it. It is not. It's the reason for which people who name Jesus as their Lord and Savior and yet don't live that way can do so. Because they're only living it out in their head. And it's the one of the reasons I believe it's easy for a kid that's grown up in a church that's learned the religion of Christianity to walk away because they never had a true contact with God. They have a lot of information. You know, I've had some professors that have shaken me up in the secular world, because they knew so much about Scripture, and they were challenging me in ways that it took years to get the right answer back. And they weren't saved. And yet they used the Word of God. It's a scary thing to live out your faith in your head, because the head department doesn't get you saved. We talked a lot about children and you have to become like a child. And what was the difference? And it was the trust in Jesus Christ. It wasn't the head knowledge of Jesus Christ, because they lacked that. And that's when the big grown-up adult is so messed up, when they think a child can't enter into the kingdom of God and be saved. Because they're thinking head knowledge. They're thinking, oh, how can they understand the depth of God's Word? And that's where we hang out. We go, I understand the depth of God's Word. I'm saved. And it could only be in my head. It could only be in the place that is 18 inches away from eternity with God. And that's the heart. That's the will place. That's where we make decisions for life. So these areas are, again, important that we learn in this process. But if we stay on these first three levels, we're going to be acting out in our head Christianity and not in our life and not in our heart. And I often challenge teachers, are you passing on information or are you passing on relationship with the living God? It's so easy to pass on information. And that's what our culture is set out to do. All right, let's go to the next level. That's the relation level. And that's the ability to relate biblical truths to life and see its appropriate response. In other words, it's the place where we see God's Word and what it means and how it relates to my life and what I'm supposed to do then. So now we are seeing how it relates. It might be in that class, that hypothetical class, that they were talking about the gospel. And one of the students raises their hand and says, this is what it means to be saved. That it means my dad's not saved. They see the implication of the truth. And now they relate it to real life. Or maybe they were being taught about forgiveness of sin. And one of the students says, oh man, I got to go home and forgive my brother. You know, we don't know if they're going to go do that. But nonetheless, they see what it means, what the truth means for them to go and do. There is much that a teacher can do to lead his student in a meaningful involvement with God's Word, providing opportunities for the Holy Spirit to point out to each student personally the response he wants him to make. But it's still only a hearer level. It's not a doer level. It's a hearer-only level. And this really messes with us. Because we'll sit in church or in a Bible study or on campus somewhere and we'll hear the Word, we'll go, wow, I've never seen that and how that applies to my life. Awesome. And then we close our Bible. So we're maintaining the fourth level of learning. We see how it relates to us, but it hasn't changed us. It's only given us more information in our mind, in our brain. But I'm still not a doer of the word. It's not until they actually respond to the information given that brings that change. And that's the last level that we're going to talk about. And that's level 5, the realization level. And the realization level is this. You understand, based on level 4, you got to that level, how that the Word of God in that particular area means something to you personally. It's not until you actually respond to that Word that you are in the level of a doer of the Word. Responding. It's one thing to understand what the appropriate response is to God's Word, but to actually make that response is another thing. So often, we get to that place where it's kind of like this. I don't know if you've ever experienced this. But you've been at a Bible study and maybe at church on Sunday or something, and the Lord really spoke to your heart about something you had to care for that you could care for right after service with another person. And you, in your heart, you were going to do it. You were so convicted of God's Word that you saw how you had to do that. That fourth level, you knew you had to do that. Church is over with, you're walking out, you're on your way to take care of the situation, and somebody comes along and taps you on the shoulder that you haven't seen for a long time. You go, oh, dude, man, cool, how you doing? It's been a while. Hey, let's go to lunch. You know, and there's a thought for a second, well, I got to go, say, take care of this forgiveness deal. But you haven't seen your friend for a while. And lunch sounds good, you're hungry. So you go to lunch and you're telling the Lord, well, I'll take care of this later. Are you a doer of the word yet? You're still on the level of hearer because you took off and you don't know the rest of the story. That's why I tell teachers, if a child has come to the place where they understand this fourth level of learning of what it means to be born again, and they really, you can tell they really desire that, it's the time then to say, would you like to become a child of God? And all of a sudden, the knock's on the door, and the parents are there, church is over with, what do you do? And a scenario could be, well, the child will say, well, you know, I'll go home and do this. Not a chance in my class. I'll get my co-teacher and get him outside the door and say, can you hold on a second? We've got some serious stuff going on right now. Children are coming to know Jesus Christ. So wait a second. And I give them the opportunity immediately because I don't know what the enemy will do between that point and even next week. That's how critical it is to understand what's going on. I could have a child and not understand the levels of learning, just totally be ignited for the Lord and want to move in that direction, proclaim His name and so forth, and not be full of wisdom. I believe the reason we need to know these levels of learning is so that we can see the Holy Spirit moving. And we can recognize what He is doing and how He's moving through the teaching of the Word of God. This is nothing like you would make a lesson plan about. You know, this is to be aware of what the Holy Spirit is doing in the lives of people and not to cut it short. So the levels of learning are extremely important. We aren't going to look there now, but 1 Corinthians 6, Paul's asked the question 6 different times. What? Do you not know? And what he was saying is these people knew, they knew the teaching, they knew the right way, but they weren't living that way. Therefore, they didn't really act upon it, in which they really didn't know it. And I'm going to explain the knowing issue next, because we're going to move from the levels of learning to the difference between the Greek approach to learning and the Hebrew approach to learning. Combining these learning levels with these two understandings will give you a fuller understanding of what's happening around us. The Greek form of learning, practically all modern forms of education take this approach. You all have been taught by way of Greek thinking. If you've been in the public ed, if you've been in private, and probably most homeschooling, you've been taught how to think like a Greek. It's the approach that everything, books, trainings, everything goes with. And that's primarily information, memorizing, and repeating. If I was to try to find three words to describe what Greek learning was, that would be them. Information, memorizing, and repeating. This form of education shapes much of how we think today about education. The focus is on the intellect. The focus is always on the intellect. The goal of this approach is the transfer from the teacher's mind to the student's mind. So this goal, and we're doing it in here. We're doing it. I've got my notes. I made up a bunch of notes that you're writing on right now. And I am transferring this information that I have on my notes through my brain, to your notes. That's known as Greek education. It's what we know. I mean, it's what we do. Am I saying that's bad? No. I'm saying that's what we do, though. And you're going to see a difference in a second for why that is a little different than what we should be attempting to do. Education in Athens was for the training of the individual in the service of the culture. Education was to bless the culture, basically. It was to secure the culture, to build it up. That was the idea behind it. So to the Greek, the goal of education was for the student to learn what their teacher knew. The focus was on the intellect. They focused on the content to be transferred from the teacher's mind to that of the student. So that's Greek. Greek form of education. Let's jump over to the Hebrew form, the Hebrew approach to learning. And if I was to have to describe it in one quick sentence, it would be living out the truth learned. That's the concept of the Hebrew approach to learning. The goal of this form of learning is not only memorization of repeatable facts, but to live out the truth. The student is encouraged to practice the truth in real life. And as the Hebrew motto goes, the student has not learned a thing when they repeat to the teacher. It is only learned when it's reflected in the student's life. You see a little bit of difference now between the Greek way of thinking, which we all are under that learning process, and the Hebrew. In this approach, the testing is the living. It's not a piece of paper. The testing is the living. In the Greek form, we think that when we pass the test, we've learned it. But in the Hebrew approach of thinking of how education goes, it wasn't that we learned it because we have it in our notes. It was because we are living it out. Then now we can say, I know that. I know that. The question becomes not whether the student has the information correctly stored into their head, but rather how has the truth transformed the student's attitude and behavior. You know, in light of the scripture that we're told that there are many that will come to Jesus and say, Lord, Lord, did I not heal in your name? Did I not teach in your name? Did I not do all these kind of things in your name? And he says, I didn't know you. Depart from me into everlasting judgment. We ought to be concerned with how we think we learn. We ought to be really concerned. Sometimes we think we can kind of blow things past God. He didn't notice. He doesn't know. He knows everything. Can't hide from him. He knows when we're goofing off and playing around with him. So the focus was on the heart. It was on their character. It was on their life. That was the focus. As the focus was on the intellect, under the Greek form of education, the focus of the Hebrew form was on the heart, the character, and that person's life. To the Hebrew, the goal of education was for the disciple to become like the teacher. It's totally different today. Absolutely different. In those days, parents would spend time with the teacher finding out who the teacher was. Because you become like your teacher. Plain and simple. If you have a number of teachers that hate God, it's going to be a challenge. The impact that a teacher has on a life is powerful when you consider over the years. It's powerful. Education was for the training of the individual in the service of God. Compare that. With the Greeks, it was training of the individual for the service of the culture. But for the Hebrews, it was a training. It was setting a child apart for God and His purposes. That doesn't happen much these days. Our kids get set apart for all kinds of positions in life, but oftentimes it's not for God. The scripture, train up a child in the way they should go, and they won't depart. There's all kinds of argument about what it means, the way they should go. Now, it's pretty simple for me to think the way I should go as a Christian is God's way. But it gets real sophisticated and we start terming this and terming that and saying this and saying that. I believe that scripture means what it says. Bring them up in the ways God wants them to go. In godly ways. So, to the Hebrew, the goal of education was for disciples to become like their teachers. The learner was not a student defined by studying, but rather a disciple defined by knowledge. A disciple. A disciple in those days was a follower of a person, of an ideology, of a belief system. We've kind of lost that view. A disciple, what is a disciple? You know, and we go to the scripture to deny yourself, take up the cross and follow Him. But there's not this idea of following a person. And you see, that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be following Jesus Christ up close, right next to Him. That's why we're supposed to be learning. Learning to grow closer to Jesus Christ. And then doing that on that fifth level, responding. So now you've got the five levels of learning, the process that will happen one way or another. Doesn't matter what kind of teacher the person is, those levels will play out somehow, some way. And the two basic forms of education, of which we have partaken of the education process in a Greek manner, for memorization, for information, for knowledge, so that we can go out and tell everybody how much we know. And that's what happens so often. And everybody else tells everybody else what they know. I had two guys come up to the door time back in white shirts and ties and bicycles. And they started talking, introduced themselves, and I talked, and I said, you know, I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the living God. He offered me and has given me forgiveness of sin. He has guaranteed that He would be inside me to help me live my life out, or to live my life out through me. He has promised me eternal life. Now, what do you have to offer better than that? Well, we believe that. I'm going, no, you don't. And you have nothing better to offer. Because that's the best. Do we live in that mindset, or are we going to argue with those dudes? And try to convince them in their head that they're wrong. They're looking for life too, I can guarantee. Anybody in a cult is looking for life. And we're supposed to be having life and presenting that life, and yet we argue words. What a waste of God's time. Give them life. If they don't want it, there's nothing you can do about it. It's not up to you to force them to have life. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. We get bogged down with trying to convince people to do something that maybe they don't want to do or aren't going to do. Tell them the truth that can set them free and leave it at that. But because of our mindset of learning, we think the deal is, I've got all this information up in my mind. I need to be able to communicate that to them. Because that's what the problem is. No, the problem isn't the information. The problem is their heart. Scripture is really clear. If you are hungry for God and you seek Him with all of your heart, He will be found. So those people are hungry for something else, not for God. Many people in the Christian church today are hungry for something else other than God. They want that socialization. They want to feel like they belong somewhere. So they come together as a little group. And that's how we get real strong religions. Instead of, I want to come to know more of Him so that I can experience Him more fully. And when we don't realize how we've been trained to learn, we keep on learning that way and we keep on thinking that's okay. Do you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ or a learner of Jesus Christ? There's a lot of learners of Jesus Christ. May we be followers and disciples of Him.